So continuing the next slide, so of course you have to be very familiar about the political this thing, last few decades, this thing you should know, because that will set the DNA, you know, of that country. Some countries are always politically unstable. Assess the current scenario, how is it currently, okay. What are the trade and related policies? Is it friendly to the encouraging the business, etc.? What business strategies are being followed by the host country people, etc.? What is the ailing them? You know? What may be ailing them? Okay, what is benefiting them? So, those policies, practices, etc., the strategies are affecting adversely or helping them, etc. How can you breach the gap through dialogue? Is there a possibility of a dialogue to understand and, you know, bridge the gap, anticipate the political stability? You should be able to foresee the political scenario of that country. If the political scenario also may look stable, but what is that route that somebody is pursuing? What is the agenda in terms of economy, industrialization, economy that one is pursuing? So government is pursuing self-reliance. So, does it mean that the foreign country will have to question themselves? No, there are many ways where they can enable also India to become self-reliant, and they also can gain. But this is what they have to factor in. You know? Analyze difference, if any, between the product and industry policy. You have a specific product. What is the industrial policy? Does it enable, help, facilitate, or restrict you in terms of any which ways? Tobacco is a restricted item in country, maybe in many countries. So, you have to look at and how severely it is, you know, implemented in those aspects. Now we enter 3.5. We have seen the 3.5, the host country, the assessing the political risk. Okay, we enter 3.5, which is a risk pertaining to the firm's operation. Pertaining to the firm's operation, the host country. Okay, the host country means the country where you intend to do the business. I continue to clarify that, but this pertains to the operation of the firm. It highlights various operational issues, issues such as, you know, the government interference or any other aspects which may impact your operation there. Government may initially be friendly, but later may become hostile. So that's a case I have just referred to you, Coca-Cola. It could be misinterpretation of a government rule. So Vodafone case, or for that matter, few of the other, but essentially it's the Vodafone government of India, retrospective collection of a tax, and that is still a legal battle going on. Labor sourcing policy. So labor sourcing policy also needs to be understood. What are the guidelines? What are the industrial relation rules? What is allowed? What is not allowed? So earlier the contract labor and contract staff was not much encouraged. Now it has been encouraged. So therefore you see that a lot of people are taken actually on contract rather than as an employee. So you see that it allows the flexibility to the organization. So that's why the US company are the firm believer of that, and that's why they come into country after these labor laws are modified. Okay. Intellectual property right related issue also needs to be probed. Will you be able to defend your IP looking at the operation, looking at the host country's legal systems, etc., the rate of cyber crimes, the susceptibility to cyber crimes, etc., technology available to safeguard your organizations, etc. So your entire internal digital data and digital transactions and all. So those needs to be factored into. So those are the risks pertaining to the firm operation, which is a host country, the country where you plan to do your international marketing. We will now study transfer risk under the host country where you are doing a business. Pertains to the risk associated with the transfer of funds. Obviously, if you are in two different countries, the fund transfer is going to happen. Either the entrepreneur sends it to his office in abroad, or they send you back the profit and, you know, various things. So this is governed by the rule of the home country where you belong to. So that is what one need to be aware about. And not only that, the host country also will have the rules. So Colgate Palmolive operating here, or Hindustan Unilever operating here, have its rule. So essentially they are first governed by the host country, therefore it is coming out here. So you are allowed to transfer certain amounts, certain percentage of profit, etc. So that is all going to put limitations on your transfer. Many countries have imposed limits on the foreign funding or foreign exchange transfer, etc. So to protect the foreign exchange, positions, etc. So it should not become adverse. If this is known to you prior to your this thing or on a year-on-year basis, you are able to calculate your return on investment appropriately. This is should be known to you, and it is generally known unless the government springs a surprise by interim introduction of the rule. Transfer price rules and ruling can also impact, they impact the business greatly. Material transfer and the share transfer, there are two transfers that generally take. Many companies, what has happened, to take advantage of various rules pertaining to manufacturing, they create one body which is manufacturing body, and then they transfer the goods to the marketing body. Now that is a material transfer. Even the two raw materials, the two separate raw materials that has been made transferred to the parent company to manufacture a goods, there also there is a company try to get advantage, but that ethically if it is done, fine. Unethically it is wrong. So that's what transfer rules govern, both material transfer and the share transfer. Share transfer essentially transfer the ownership. So how this share transfer is governed is also through this transfer related rules in the host country. 3.7, risk pertaining to the ownership of the firm. Ownership of the firm in the host country. So it's like about your ability to retain your ownership in the country where you have started your international business. There are rules which governs the nature of ownership, right to property in telecom and media, etc. So there are government rules that are imposed which governs the nature of ownership. Either you are declared a joint owner or you are declared a full-fledged owner, etc. That determines, like, if in case of any legal dispute or you have to like totally withdraw yourself, what will you get, what will you not get, kind of thing. Share percentage can also be governed. So as I told you earlier, how much percentage of direct investment one can have. So FDI route was governing in insurance, media and various things up to 26%. Later on it was become 49%, and now as I understand it is 76%. So now they can acquire the channel and play the management role. So they can run the show. So that's the stake up, percentage that government decides. This is done to ensure this essentially done. Now today we need a lot of technology in the media. Today we need a lot of technology in the insurance sectors, etc. So what is it? Yeah. So that's why it is opened up. Or you want more employment. So you have to open economy. They will come, they will invest money. So, and they will not come without the managerial right. Okay. Curbing outflow of foreign exchange. You want to contain the outflow of foreign exchange, etc. You have to increase government revenue, etc. So those are the things by which this transfer specific laws and the rules are applicable. It also covers need to understand the country's culture, country's environment, work environment, the government, the regulatory bodies, etc. So it goes, ownership is all about not only running and acquiring infrastructure and hardcore investment, but it's also about what is the cultural value out there? What is the work environment? Friendly or often striking, or what is it that one need to know? What is the regulatory body's interference in your working and all? It, of course, you have to look at the legal system, the enforcement of the law, the judiciary, the independence of the judiciary. Okay, the time it takes for any case to come, get a resulting output, etc. Those are the real the aspects that one comes under the risk pertaining to ownership of the firm. So that one need to keep in mind. Now what we are going to study is the global political and legal environment. Now this is about the totality, globe in totality. So that is what few essential characteristics and aspects will be covered in this section. Okay. It is essential that you should be aware about the globalization, global perspective, as they say. So global political environment and various other developing impact on the economy. You should have that perspective. The strained relationship, say with US, China, what will it impact you? Or strained this thing, or US withdrawing from Afghanistan going in the, say, wrong hand, what is it going to impact you? So these are those issues that, you know, I think our 3,000 crore something investment is now today looks like stuck in Afghanistan. So you see, it has a lot of ramifications, global political turmoils or political decisions. So decision of US, but we were severely affected. Be aware of various initiatives, actions taken by the international organizations. You have to be also careful as to what action the government bodies are taking, the international bodies, so to say. IMF suddenly creates an embargo, or World Bank stops financial supplies, etc., or raises a red flag of misuse of fund, etc. So these are those things which will then should be looked at from the point of your impact on your business and impact on the trade, essentially international trade. So that will create an impact on you also. Link political development with the likely impact on the environment, business thereof, expected action by world body, etc. So now see, there are a lot of political equations are changing. I take a there's a huge debate now, the shifting power through this Russia-Ukraine use, you know, war. It came out that earlier the superpower or the two superpower, supposedly now one superpower has shown his inability to really take a upfront confrontation. This thing, they themselves are embroiled in their economic challenges and other issues. So the other two countries have shown strong, you know, closeness, which is China, Russia. That advantage is also being taken by Pakistan. China is already clouting our neighboring countries to give them the infrastructure and cover us militarily. So those are the things that one need to really look at, the shifting equations, etc. And how will it impact your business by and large? What is an expected action that also you should be able to foresee? So what do you expect in a happening? Certain incidences are going on for quite some time. You see unrest, or you see the upheavals. From there, are you able to protect likely body by some decisions which will impact your business? So those are the things. SAARC and Asian nations, okay, they have a bilateral trade between themselves. Now that kind of a thing, will it impact each member, or some member favorably, some member adversely, etc.? Generally, they are not done with the design to impact adversely to anybody. However, many times it will have indirect aspects. What will this bilateral trade mean in terms of legal environment? Okay, in terms of business needs, finance, investments, technology transfer, etc. So what does it stand for that one need to be aware about? Relationship between two countries, that is home and the host countries, also needs to be evaluated. So obviously, like say, what is happening between US and India? We went close to US. Now one has to see, we did not support the UN resolution against, say, Russia. US has declared already that there may be some sanction that needs to be imposed on India. So again, what we went away from Russia, we went close to US. Now US is threatening with certain things. We had our own reason for not supporting, abstaining from voting, etc. But that has strained a bit. So that way, what will impact that will have on the business and the trade, international trade? US, China, they are at loggerhead, anti-dumping duty on steel, anti-dumping duty on various things. So China also imposes duty on US goods, and they are at, like, literally you can say the trade war. Okay, and their impact, what will that impact on the global international trade? That needs to be understood and thereby impact you. So that's another aspects. We are understanding global political and legal environment to continue that your host countries are the countries where you intend to do a business, international business, ties up with, say, another country. Here, what is saying, country where your international business is, if it ties up or goes close to some other country, will it have an impact? So here the example is given. If you are doing a business with US, now US improves the ties with South Korea. So how will it impact your business? You should be able to derive some impact. Okay, so that's also critical. Deteriorating relationship between two countries also needs to be monitored, and its impact on international business and business of you. So US, Iran, they got into the fight, including war, etc. So So it would have definitely impacted the international business at that time, and a number of exporters and importers would have got adversely affected. So that's the global political and legal environment related things. Now we are under that. So far, probably we studied every aspect of the political environment. Now bit on the legal aspects. So what is the legal aspects, global perspective? Differences and disputes within two countries are obvious, and that aspects of relationship, how will it be handled? So that should be clear. So WTO has that dispute resolution mechanism, as I told you. So you can use that. Bilateral conversations are always healthy and helpful. You do not have to really go to the WTO level, but if need be, they have a rugged dispute resolution system. However, it is up to a specific country to adhere to or not. If they do not adhere to, they may face sanctions. Okay, they may face sanctions and it may impact the business. But then it's up to them. If they have ability to take that, they will continue to defy. If they have not, they will slowly come and align again. Each country has a different legal system also. So the legal systems vary country to country. We might have adopted the British bylaws, etc. But over a period, through various amendments and all, we have improved to suit the Indian condition. So that will have an impact on the foreign countries coming and doing a business in India. So that needs to be understood. So that's a legal aspects. Okay. It is also essential to know legal systems, their transparency, the speed, the power to implement the outcome, etc. You may have a result out in your favor, but the implementing authority are not so strong and they cannot carry out the court order against the person. Then you are helpless. So all those, that's a complete judiciary systems or judicial systems recognition, independence, implementation and power needs to be really perceived besides the time it takes, etc. Three kinds of legal systems are found across the world: common law, court law and religious law. We will briefly touch base on this. Common law is the law which is essentially developed when the law formation was happening. So in our case, when India became independent, there are various laws that has been already formed that affects both individual and the business. Later on, court laws are the one which over and above, when there were need coming in, they are developed systematically and with the proper ways of ascertaining its ramifications and then enacted as a law. So this is a court law, and then there are religious law. We have in country like HUF, which is Hindu Unified Family. We have personal law boards and their rules are coming. Now the demand is a common uniform code, you know. So that's a that governs, and so HUF and Hindu personal law board, etc., are the religious law. They pertain to specific religion. So that's a type of a nature of law. Marketing and the terrorism and its impact. So you see, the terrorism is growing worldwide. Internationally, you have various groups are fighting Naxals in India, like ISIS in various territories abroad, you know, fighting with US and Afghanistan. We had another set of, you know, this thing. We have in Pakistan also number of terrorist groups fighting. So Sindh province, so there are many, you see, various parts of the world are under the threat of terrorism. So that is a today most growing concern. And in light of that, you know, what happens, what leads to destruction and, you know, destructive this thing, or even if that fear, the business do not take place. So that impacts the business. So countries who resort to, you know, the proxy war, harboring terrorism, etc. India has seen this very much, you know. So economy of not only that country suffers, economy of country depending on them, or country providing a, getting a business from them, both suffers. So that's a terrorism and marketing have an adverse impact, so to say. Business effects, one has to see about the global political and legal environment. Firms often face dilemmas to manage business ethics. And that's a very important subject when it comes to global business environment related things, which is out of the legal environmental aspects. Yeah. So what happens when you are doing a business elsewhere in other country, in a lure of getting the business, your people may get into using unethical business practices. Okay. such as bribes and influence, or you know, various unethical ways to grab the business. Now, your home country may have very strict rules about getting into that such kind of a way of doing business. Now, in such kind of a scenario, tomorrow, if anything happens, your government, your you know, home country organizations come into scrutiny. Now, to avoid all that thing, there are a lot of ramification-based laws are being enacted, which compels individuals and the organizations within the individuals and organizations under the particular group, etc., to follow certain policy guidelines, etc. So there are scenarios where the business goals and the business this thing will clash. I have just explained. Government policy may be an hindrance and you want to bypass them, or government partly related government party related hindrances, you know, so the various divisions and functionaries within the government may create this thing which will compel you to take some unethical route. So there are laws which prevents this. So I as told earlier, I also worked in a very international company, and where I had to sign a affidavit which says that I will not get into any unethical means, bribery and you know, those things, etc. So you see that this also has its own ramification, because business has to be done ethically. That's what international treaty believes. Okay. Companies have thus therefore developed elaborate corporate governance standards. So this all comes under what you call a governance standards, the code of ethics, anti-bribery, anti-gifting rules are formed by the company. Okay. What governing parties has to adhere to, what you as an employee has to adhere to, etc. You cannot have indirect favors also received by you, and also these are the governing policies that come in front of you. Foreign corrupt practices legislation facilitates the international managers to operate the business in an international environment, means guided by the practice which is not allowed to be adhered to. So corruption, bribery, etc. are not considered as a healthy for a level playing field, and various ways the legal systems across the country tries to prevent this. So one should be aware of it. Must skillfully ensure, you must skillfully ensure. So in that itself, the business ethics part, compliances with the host country's expectations to avoid any legal challenges later. So what it says that you must adhere to the host country's requirement first, and then you look at the home country this thing. But however, home country also tries to have enactments very severe so that you do not get into anything otherwise, because ultimately it's the country's name which gets spoiled. Firm will have internal and external stakeholders. External stakeholders' interest needs to be taken care of. While you develop your various business practices and business aspects, you have to see that not only internal stakeholders' interest is taken care of, otherwise it is an unlawful favoritism. You have to see that even external stakeholders' interests are taken care of. The world expects societal contributions by the corporates. Thus, there is a concept called corporate social responsibility. Now, this corporate social responsibility is a law being enacted. To use it appropriately is also a responsibility of the organization's management. So in a host country where you are, if there is a provision like the CSR and similar thing, societal change related laws and regulations, you need to adhere to. Now all this thing will have, if not adhered to, unwarranted fallouts will happen. So one need to be really careful about it. So that's about the business ethics. So we finished this chapter 3, which was essentially covering various aspects of marketing and the environmental this thing in a home country, host country, primarily political and legal this thing. And then we also saw the overall global perspective to such challenges. Thank you.